Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm good, Gabe.
Okay, good to hear. Good to hear. All right, now last time we talked, we were talking about the Taj Rahel, Memphis cheating, UTSA scandal, yeah. Whatever you want to term it as. By the way, real quick, do we call it the American or the American Conference? Do we have a short term, shorthand version of it? Because it was the AAC. I can't get that out of my vocabulary. Do we just call it the AC now?
I struggle with it a little. No, I don't call it the AC. AC is something I have cranked in my house right now.
Right,
that's
right,
the AC, right?
Right.
So I think I just call it the American. I think it's a little awkward. Doesn't roll off the tongue quite right yet. But I think it's just the American. So who do you like in the American? Gabe, like that, right? Let's see. Who's going to win the American? Isn't that?
But every single conference has a shorthand. You know, it's bizarre for me not to have that like readily available. The American.
Exactly
I have to say
right.
That every single time. SEC, ACC. I guess Sun Belt doesn't. No, unless right, you call it the SBC.
Horizon doesn't. You know, the MAC, it's a word. It is the shorthand. I mean, we're pronouncing the acronym. But yeah. The Horizon, I think the Horizon, the Sun Belt, and the American. Sadly, that's not good company.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They need an acronym.
Have acronyms.
Can we call it the A?
AC.
Since we call it the American, can we call it the A?
I think the A is better because they were trying to get away from AAC because it was a little bit too much like ACC. And so if you go AC, it doesn't get you out of that dilemma.
Well, the one thing I will give them credit for, the AAC always auto-corrected to ACC in my phone every single time. I mean, it was, and you look it up on Google, it always, like you say AAC honors, it always comes up with ACC honors. Did you mean this?
You gotta get out of there. You gotta get out of the A. The A.
The A? You like the A.
How do you like the A? The A. Don't put hole next to it or anything, you know, like just the A. Just the A. Not the whole A. The A.
We need to ask Soar the Eagle.
I think the A is maybe, I don't know how you can get people, I don't know how you get it to catch on, but it's the A. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now,
so,
we were talking.
Win the A.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We were talking about the UTSA, Taj Rahel, Memphis sort of cheating scandal there, where Taj Rahel sent plays and advanced intel to Owen McCown, the starting quarterback at UTSA. UTSA wins 44-36. We've already talked about all that. What did you think of Jeff Traylor and Owen McCown's response since we've last talked?
Well, I thought their response was totally predictable, like 100%. I thought the more interesting response was Ryan's response, because what are they going to say other than, oh, it was totally irrelevant, made no difference, not how we prepare, whatever. Like, they're just gonna bang it out of the air either way. It was a little disingenuous on the part of McCown, because that's not at all how he responded to the actual information on the message, but that was totally predictable. They were going to say, had nothing to do, it's not how we prepare, nothing, much to do about nothing. I thought the two the reactions that were really interesting were Ryan's, because Ryan could have, he totally took the high road, and he could have taking the high road with a little bit of, you know, he could have reached right for a little bit of satisfaction. He could have said, yeah, you know, there were a lot of strange things about that game, but in the end, we got to look forward. But he didn't say any of the there are a lot of strange.
He
about
blamed
that game
himself, or, and he blamed, yeah, you know, if I would have had a control of this program, this would have never happened.
Yeah, so I thought for Ryan that was really interesting because I give him credit. I would have been tempted, you know, given how much criticism he gets for not ever winning. Watch this, the A. I would have been tempted as a human being to, while trying to look like I was taking the high road, get a few jabs in or
right,
claim a little credit for myself or get a little bit of an excuse. I don't see the guy who I thought was most disappointing was the commissioner.
Yes.
He sort of like said something like it's blown out of proportion or misconstrued or
called it clickbait, I believe, at one point.
Yeah, what is it? What does that even mean? It is what, like, it happened. There was nothing misconstrued about it. Now, you can argue that it didn't matter in the grand scheme or whatever else, but there was nothing clickbait or misconstrued or anything else about it. It was what it was. We all saw it, and literally nobody denied it. And so I thought the commissioner's was honestly the most disingenuous response of any of them. Ryan's was admirable. The commissioner's was kind of, you know, I thought, pathetic. But for UTSA, I thought it was totally predictable.
Yeah, now Taj Rael, I think the predictably most disappointing. His agency put out the statement. And the second paragraph, I guess, is the one I'll read here. This has been a difficult period for all involved. While there are differing perspectives on what occurred, no, there's not.
No,
Taj
there's
acknowledges
not.
That errors in judgment may have been made. Yes, they were. And at no point was there
may have been made.
Yeah.
May.
And then this one, at no point was there any intent to harm teammates or compromise the integrity of the game you lost. Well, you harm teammates by having
and
them pretend, you know, lose a game. And you said somebody was hurt and he's running out of eligibility. Cortland Marsh, he has a hamstring injury that they wouldn't have been privy to had you not told them. And then compromise the integrity of the game. He loves. He did not want to do that. Well, he absolutely did. Like, that was clearly the effort, is to compromise the game he loves.
Every sentence in that, whatever it wasn't an apology, whatever it was, statement, was a lie. Literally every statement. It was, I would say it was written by, it reads like it was written by ChatGPT, but only if you instructed to ChatGPT, okay, I want you to
be as disingenuous as possible.
Yes, and I want to make sure that every one of these sentences contains an untruth. You know, an untruth. Make it sound like an apology with all the cliches, but make them all untrue. And then, boom, within 2 seconds, you'd have that right there. Within a millisecond, you'd have that statement there. It was preposterous. Now, again, did it have much to do with the actual game? We'll never know the answer to that. And to some extent, it doesn't really matter at this point. Good reporting by Sam. And,
yep.
And it is too bad, as Tim Buckley wrote, it's too bad that they don't play.
You know, yes.
That would have been.
Well, because there's already the beef between Jeff Traylor and Ryan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then this adds to
it. It's already
there.
Yeah. No, it's too bad in a conference, which I like to call the A, which is totally without rivalries to begin with, really. There would have been, you know, maybe you could make some of that. And instead they don't play.
All right. Now, preseason sort of odds on the American, on the A, championship. Tulane in first, plus 320. UTSA, plus 420 in second. Navy, plus 470. Memphis, you have to go all the way down to fourth to find them at plus 500 to win the American. Now, they haven't won an American Conference title under Ryan, so I kind of understand this. But fourth, behind the three teams that I just named, Navy, UTSA, Tulane. Do you think that's correct?
Oh, I understand it. You know, I mean, Memphis, not only have they not won a title, they haven't been to the title game, and they have a lot of turnover, including their stalwart quarterback. And they have a quarterback situation, quarterback coming in, who, while he is deeply experienced, hasn't really been a big winner over the course of his career. So I understand the skepticism about Memphis and why their odds are where they are. I think what's really interesting about it is the sort of the timelines. Like, for Memphis fans, I think even the ones who appreciate the work that Ryan has done, say, it's getting to be time, Ryan. You know,
yes.
It's getting to get both of your predecessors won titles. It's getting to be time for you to win a title. You've got as much or more resources than any other program in the A. We're really starting a thing here, by the way. We're saying the A over and over. We've got more resources than anyone else in the A, or as many, and so it's getting to be time. And yet, naturally, just with the way the roster has turned over, you would actually think this might be a year where they might take a small step back, not a big step back, but it might be somewhat of a resetting year. You know, they've got an uncertain quarterback situation. And so now the schedule is favorable, you know,
right.
They're tough games at home. So I like that for their perspective, but it is going to be interesting because I think this is a year when people are finally like, come on, Ryan, is this the moment? And yet, as you point out, at least according to Las Vegas, they're not the first favorite, the second favorite, or the third favorite.
I would make the case, something you said there that I'm not fully rejecting because it's a new face and it's not Seth Hennigan. I don't know how uncertain the quarterback position is with Brendan Lewis, right? Like, it's uncertain the fact we've never seen him play in a Memphis uniform. But I can tell you from watching his collegiate career, whether it was at Nevada or at Colorado, this is the best set of circumstances he's had. And he's had some decent statistical years even at those bad stops. Like, and he's got more than enough experience to at least have the gap year before A.J. Hill takes over next year. So, like, I don't know how uncertain it is. I see that, like, sort of whether it's the national landscape, VA media, you know, they think it's relatively unknown and there's some questions about it. I don't know if we should have that many questions about Brendan Lewis at quarterback. He's tremendously experienced at the very, very least.
He is, I don't think there's much uncertainty at all about whether he's going to get the start, you know, like get the chance to start. I think he will be the starting quarterback. I think it's become pretty clear. I haven't seen him enough with my own eyeballs to have developed a strong opinion. But let me ask you this right off the top. Navy, Tulane, South Florida, Memphis. Who is the best quarterback?
I think there's always caveats with this, but I'd say Navy. Navy.
Okay. And then wouldn't you?
And then
you
after know, that, I don't know
you,
if I can.
Wouldn't you like who was more successful last year? Tulane's quarterback or Memphis's quarterback? Tulane's quarterback.
Yeah, but Tulane's are you counting Retzlaff?
Yeah, I'm assuming that Retzlaff's going to be the starter.
Well, but that's a quick turnaround, and a lot happened this offseason. And I don't even know if I've officially seen him sign yet. I know he was committed. I think everybody's just assuming he's going to run out there immediately. I mean, training camp's right around the corner. That is a quick turnaround for him. So, like, I guess, yes, on the face of it, absolutely he's the best quarterback. But I don't know if he's going to have enough time to be starting by game one.
Yeah, I think by the time the conference season is in earnest, he will be the starting quarterback. And I think he was, you know, he had a better year last year, you know, than Brendan Lewis. I think you're exactly right. The Brendan Lewis has going for him is he's now been at Memphis longer, right, than Retzlaff will have been at Tulane. But I don't know. Like, I don't think it's uncertain in terms of who's the starter going to be. I know I don't have a firm conviction as to whether he will be a upper echelon quarterback in the conference or middle of the pack quarterback in the conference. Right. I don't have a conviction about that. I can easily imagine him as a middle of the pack quarterback in the conference.
All right. Now we have NFL football coming up later this week on Thursday. How do you feel about your Bills? How do you feel about your Bills in training camp right now?
Well, today not as good because Max Harrison,
yeah,
who was their first round pick corner, went out with a knee injury today. And there's nothing like, I said this to Jeffrey on our show, preseason injuries are just so depressing. Like, we don't know yet that this one's serious, but if you happen to have, and this is true for any club, you get a preseason injury and you're done for the year for someone that you are expecting to have a significant role, I just find that so depressing.
And it happens so consistently, too.
It happens every year. There are players who are out for the year because of what happened in preseason, in camp, and so I'm feeling a little down about them right now. And you know, I don't. I'm feeling like I think they're a very good team, but I don't think they'll win the Super Bowl. I was thinking about this with Ryan Sandberg. You know, Ryan Sandberg, yep, the most beloved club and Cub in recent men, in the last five decades or four decades, right? Like, I think probably. Is there anyone and played a grand total of 10 postseason games, went to the postseason twice, never won at all, like, but had a, you know, so I just, it's an interest, because we were talking yesterday about pressure, who's pressure. I know that's I think it's a false conversation, because there's so many different kinds of pressure, right? Trevor Lawrence is under a different kind of pressure than Daniel Jones, who's under a different kind of pressure than Lamar, right? They're all under different pressure. But we were talking about this in the context of the pressure on Josh and Lamar to win a Super Bowl. And I don't know, like, between Burrow, Lamar, and Josh, how many of them will ever win a Super Bowl? One of them? One of the three?
Yeah. How long does Patrick Mahomes play? How long does Andy Reid stay? I don't know. I'd venture to say one at least.
I think at least one will, but I think I won't be surprised if two go without. Right? It's just the way it goes, and so I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, and that depresses me. But listen, it is National Chicken Wing Day, and so we celebrate all things Buffalo on the day, you know, on National Chicken Wing Day, and so I'll try to be hopeful, even as Maxwell Harrison is limping towards the sidelines.
Yeah, how much different is getting some Buffalo wings in Buffalo as compared to just like in Memphis? Because Memphis has some good wings. We have some good hot wings.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't go to Buffalo enough now. Both my parents have died. I don't go enough to eat. When I went to my high school reunion a couple of years ago, I will say, you know, I just thought they were better. But is it because they're bigger? Does the country send their best wings to Buffalo? Does Buffalo, like, do I really believe they could possibly be better? Now, it's true that in Buffalo, and this is just true, when wings were invented, which was in the 1960s, and of course they didn't invent chickens. Have always had wings, even before they were invented.
But we didn't need them. But they were scraps.
They used them in dog food or scraps or soup bones or whatever. Yeah, to make a whatever. Yeah, to make a broth or something. So, so when they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to deep fry these suckers, and we're going to put some hot sauce on them, and we're going to serve them and on buffalo eyes with blue cheese and celery. That's when it was invented in the 1960s, and then it only got into the, you were into the 1980s and 90s before all the big chains were invented, Buffalo Wild Wings, Hooters, and like that. But in Buffalo, Buffalo Wings were, they weren't, you know, they weren't lemon pepper, and they weren't, you know, they weren't all different flavors. They weren't jerk chicken. They were Buffalo. They were that one flavor,
yes,
the Buffalo flavor, right? And that's still in Buffalo. You get that. You can, I guess, you can get other flavors, but in Buffalo, the traditional buffalo wing is the buffalo flavored buffalo wing, and so that's the other difference. You don't, you know, you go in and you get wings. We used to get 10-cent wings, like Mamoser's Bar would have 10-cent wing night, and they'd be spicy because they'd want you to drink a lot, right? So they'd be super spicy, 10-cent wings. They were still one step up from something that you threw away, right? They were saying, we got these wings here, 10-cent wings. And now, of course, what's a wing cost you? $1.50, $2?
A lot.
Really, wings are not a good deal anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Wings are very expensive for the amount of meat that you get for a wing. They're no longer a good deal, but they are delicious.
Yeah. You know who's not eating buffalo wings anymore? I would venture to say Luka Doncic, who face of men's health. I know that. Listen,
cut down on the wings.
I talked about this yesterday. I know this is like the, almost like this, you could put this on a short list of perfect NBA summer stories, right? Him losing all the weight,
right?
And the diet where he's intermittent fasting and he's cut out gluten and he's
we did that with Zion. We did that with Zion
listen,
a couple of years ago.
I hear that, but I think this is substantial news. I think this means something. It shows a commitment and maybe like a bit of anger that he has with the way things shook out with him being traded from the Mavs to the Lakers, because there was not a focus on his body until now when he has to be the face of the franchise. And coming up on Friday, he's likely to sign an extension. I know this is an NBA summer story, but I think there's a little bit more to this one than Steven Adams shooting threes or Ben Simmons being back. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of how I feel.
I'm with you. Well, hey, he's awesome even when he's fat. You know,
yes.
That's the first thing.
Right.
Like with Zion, when he got in shape, well, when he was out of shape, he was broken. Like it was. So he was awesome even when he's not in shape. And so then you imagine an in-shape Luka. And like the photo, I don't know, like that looks,
it looks
pretty
good.
Good to me.
He looks
like,
damn good.
Pretty damn good to me. And the way Chris phrased it is, when you're sizing up the Lakers, they're going to have defensive problems, obviously, right? But when you're sizing them up, is he a top 5-6 player in the league guy, or is he a MVP? This is an MVP. Like, there is a difference there. You know, like, this is a great year, he's a great player, or this is, you know, the equivalent of Giannis, MVP. You know, like, is he going to play at that level? Because if he can play at that level, that lifts up that supporting cast, which I think they did a pretty good job of getting a supporting cast. Obviously, defensively, they probably will struggle, but, you know, a lot of ex-Grizzlies in there. And he can, yes, Luka in shape can, it would seem like, cover up for a lot of ills.
Yeah, and, you know, I did also make this case. I don't know if this necessarily happens. We could look back in a few years, and I know you don't like speaking in absolutes like this, but I'm going to do it.
Go ahead.
We could look back in a few years and say that the trade from the Mavs is the best thing that ever happened for Luka Doncic.
Oh, sure.
I very much believe that that could be a conversation we're having in not too long of a time.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Yeah, absolutely. Would he, in the end, have gotten in shape anyway? Like, we do see that. Like, we saw remember Mark getting in shape, right? Like, there's sort of a growing up trajectory for a lot of players where they decide, oh, I can't just get by on natural ability anymore. But it seems like this could have very well accelerated it. The spotlight is brighter there. You know, there's a legacy of that to live up to there. Like, I think it could have accelerated his maturity and his ascendance, even if it ultimately would have happened in Dallas. And I mean, the truth of the matter is that in LA, they can always get pieces because people always want to be in LA, and as nice as Dallas is, it's not LA from that perspective. So in terms of his own personal trajectory, but then also the pieces that will ultimately be around him, that LA is able to put around him, that Dallas may or may not have been able to, I think can also help him. So yeah, it's going to cost him right now in terms of the contract that he's going to get from LA isn't the contract that he would have gotten from Dallas, but over the long haul, he's going to be a very rich man. And I think he will likely win more titles in LA than he would have won with Dallas.
Yeah, four years, $229 million. I don't think that's anything
no,
to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, I'll let you roll, man. Thanks for joining.
Yep. See ya.
Yes, sir. He is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale, which ends Saturday at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This is your last chance. Don't wait. Save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings with any purchase of $999 or more. Get free diamond stud earrings with any purchase of $24.99 or more. Get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. A couple of examples of this. A diamond tennis necklace for $14.99. Get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. Or you could go get a 3 3/8 carat diamond engagement ring featuring a 3-carat oval in the center for $29.99, and you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. They have ways to win and to save over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you always are protected by the Meant to Be guarantee. They try to make your shopping experience risk-free and easy. So when you go and buy your loose diamond or diamond engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, the Meant to Be guarantee says this: you have 365 days to return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And I hope these things don't happen to you, right, where you have to return it. You guys could break up, unfortunately. She may not like it. That's a better outcome. She may not like it, and you could go return it, get a full refund, and buy another. But the Meant to Be guarantee is something that only Robert Irwin Jewelers offers. They also have free ring sizing for life, and they have cleaning. For life, free cleaning for life. So if you want to keep that diamond or expensive jewelry as bright and sparkling as the day you bought it, you bring it in for free at Robert Irwin Jewelers if you bought it from there. But this is the last week. Last week of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements sale. 40% off diamond jewelry during the Summer of 1,000 Engagements sale. So get over there now. They have great financing options. You can propose now and pay later. You can take up to 60 months to pay. They'll always take care of you at Robert Irwin Jewelers. See a store for complete details. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Five locations are online at RIJewelers.com. Now we need to take a trip around the National Football League when we return and discuss the Cleveland Browns quarterback battle. That's next.
All right, now before we hop into a trip around the National Football League here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, I have to mention yesterday, 345 Park Avenue in Manhattan, very, very scary situation, an awful situation transpired. A guy who 2 decades ago played high school football in California and claimed he had CTE targeted the NFL offices and was going to shoot everybody in there, quite frankly. He went up the wrong elevator, but he still, on the way, killed 4 people and himself by suicide in doing so. He had a note that talked about CTE in his pocket and just an awful, awful situation. The NFL put out a memo today saying they support everybody in the NFL offices and they hope that they get the same support in return as they work through this tough situation. But that was really, really nasty news last night that transpired as we got off the show. But let's go ahead and get to a trip around the National Football League.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Colts have agreed to terms with their 2022 third-round pick on an extension. He's been playing left tackle for them for a couple years now. Bernard Raimann, 4 years, $100 million extension. $60 million guaranteed. Some of these offensive linemen and offensive tackle deals have been absolutely off the charts, right? Like, a lot of people don't know Bernard Raimann. I think he's a good player, 6'6", 300 pounds. He used to be a tight end, got a lot of athleticism. I still think he's got a lot of developmental runway. That's why you give him a deal like that. But we go back to Dan Moore getting 80-some-odd million from the Titans and all these different deals out there. They have been overpaying and overreaching when it comes to offensive tackles this offseason. Just a trend to pay attention to. But Bernard Raimann, shout out to him. Retire. Retire the family. Do what you need to do. 4 years, $100 million, $60 million guaranteed from the Colts can help you do that. Oh, the Baltimore Ravens. Isaiah Likely. I heard about this today. Isaiah Likely, before all of what happened at training camp today, you know, occurred, there were some reports out there that he's going to get an extension and that Jake Ferguson's extension with the Cowboys was going to make it easier to keep him on board. And they need to get Isaiah Likely signed long-term because Mark Andrews doesn't have that much longer. We saw the playoff game last year and what transpired with the fumble and then the drop pass on the 2-point conversion. But Isaiah Likely has been, you know, coming for his spot for a couple of years now. But during camp today, while those reports were circulating, he had to be carted off. He had to be carted off. So there was some concerns within the Ravens organization. Okay, what are we going to do now? Are we going to give him the extension? Well, he avoided major injury. He only has an ankle roll. He'll be out for a few weeks, and he should be ready for week one. So Isaiah Likely has an injury, but should be all good. Speaking of injuries, they had two, what you could view as minor, but we thought it was going to be major for a second. Their starting left tackle that they drafted out of Oklahoma last season in the first round, Tyler Guyton, we thought that he had an ACL injury. Turns out he didn't have an ACL injury. He just has a bone fracture that will keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks. Also, a rotational cornerback, Kalen Carson, went down today. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. But I think with all that news like that, all's well that ends well, right? These are minor injuries. They should be ready for the season. We're still worried about Micah Parsons. And Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, spoke up and let the people know the Micah Parsons Cowboys contract extension may be further away than we thought. It's getting personal. And yes, I will agree with Adam Schefter. They wait far too long, the Cowboys do, to get these deals done. Connor, is it time to have a real conversation about if Micah Parsons is going to be on the Cowboys long term? Are we going to see him on another team? Are they going to trade him away and get a King's ransom, draft capital in return, and then he'll sign somewhere else for that non-quarterback, you know, highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history? The fact that it's become personal definitely makes me want to have this conversation at this point, because up till now, there was still this expectation, okay, bygones will be bygones, they'll figure it out, he's going to make a lot of money, he's going to be a part of the Cowboys going forward. But now, considering what Adam Schefter is reporting, it's become personal. They've regressed in these talks. They don't want to get a deal done, really. I'm starting to think that a trade may be on the table at some point, or he'll play out the rest of this year and go elsewhere in unrestricted free agency. I mean, this has taken a turn for the worst.
Yeah, I mean, that press conference that happened last week was about as bad as it could possibly get for you when you're trying to be in what we thought were negotiations with the player. First off, going on the stage and talking about a player's availability and then getting the amount of games that they actually played incorrect is a tough look. And it just seems like every single step that Cowboys are making when it comes to Micah Parsons is the incorrect one. And to be honest with you, I don't blame him one bit for turning his nose up at the Cowboys and saying, first off, we didn't have to wait this long to do this. You know, I didn't mind CD getting paid. I didn't mind Dak getting paid. But all of that happened with the assumption that I was going to be next in line to be paid. So F you, pay me.
Yes. It's that simple. And Stephen Jones this weekend, we want to pay Micah, but he's got to want to be paid.
What does that even mean?
The guy who day one of training camp did a 15-minute press availability, didn't have to do with Trayvon Diggs standing by his side, agreeing with every word, talking about how much he wanted to be paid. That's the guy that you say he needs to want to be paid. Hey, you need to add one more because we have some breaking news from Adam Schefter. Throw me the Cincinnati Bengals. According to sources from ESPN, Trey Hendrickson is planning to report to Bengals camp Wednesday, ending his holdout without being any closer to a new deal. Reporting to camp stops the $50,000 per day fines and also serves as a good faith gesture to try to jumpstart negotiations. So the NFL's final holdout is ending. He's going to show up. I don't know how much he's been working out. I'm sure he's been working out as much as he needs to, but he hasn't been taking any contact. I want to stay away for Trey Hendrickson's sake. Stay away from injuries. Be careful out there. Don't do anything you don't have to. But I think he's just tired of siphoning off $50,000 per day. That would hurt me. I know he's a millionaire. I know he made a lot of money on this past contract. He wants more money now. But $50,000 a day hurts to anybody under the sun. I don't care who you are. But Trey Hendrickson will be a part of the Bengals, it looks like, going into the season. And we'll see if the Bengals take this good faith gesture and do something good with it. Pay him. He has led the league in sacks. He led the league in sacks last year. He's had 35 sacks the last two seasons. Your defense sucked with him. It's going to suck worse without him. I can guarantee it. So make sure he gets a deal and you can move forward.
What does this do for your expectations of the Bengals now that he appears to be a part of their team,
you know,
heading into the season?
I will say I don't. As much as I sort of huffed and puffed about him not playing for the Bengals, I never fully believed he wouldn't play for the Bengals this year. I never fully believed that. because I don't know, like, the market out there for him, I don't know if it was robust as we thought, but it should be. But I don't know if it was robust as we thought. But I don't know how much it goes to changing the outlook of that defense as a whole. I still think they're going to be bad. At best, they'll be middle of the pack. I always thought they'd be competing for second in that division behind the Ravens. They'll be competing with the Steelers. I have that same expectation now as I did yesterday when Trey Hendrickson was in Florida.
When we were looking at, you know, yesterday and you asked me about the Steelers, it does feel like it's going to come down to the Bengals and Steelers in a lot of ways for that wild card spot.
Yep. 100%. Well, I do. There is a world out there. Don't neglect to mention this. There is a world where both those teams could finish right around 10-7, right? And they could both be wild card spots. It's not unlike NFC East had it a couple years ago, three playoff teams. The AFC North, always the best division in the AFC. I could see three playoff teams coming out of there. So we'll wait and see. But that's good news for the Bengals, no doubt.
Yeah, it's just because I'm kind of expecting the Chargers to be back in there too. So, you know, if it's the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Bills, then it'll be like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Bengals?
Yeah.
Like it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
It's what it's going to come down to.
For sure.
So I guess the Broncos too. I left out the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's one team that's going to be at the bottom of that division that we need to talk about last here, and that would be the Cleveland Browns. Go ahead and hit it. Maybe. So one, former Mississippi State product, Martin Emerson, their starting corner that they picked in the first round last year. He's out for the year. Tore his Achilles today in camp.
Are they cursed?
Yeah, they're cursed. Absolutely. No doubt about it. There's just no
doubt. Insane.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. But digging even deeper, we had Kenny Pickett injure his hamstring near the end of Saturday's practice, this past Saturday, and he's expected to be reevaluated for the injury later this week. So with that, you have Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders competing. See what they can do, see if any headway can be made. Shedeur Sanders still not getting a whole bunch of first-team reps. If any, Browns, there's an ESPN report out there that the Browns are likely to trade one of their quarterbacks before week one to another team to get some value out of it. But today, Jimmy Haslam spoke to the media. Jimmy Haslam, of course, is the owner of the Cleveland Browns. And what he had to say, I think, is very concerning for Shedeur Sanders. I don't know how to view it any other way. He said, if you would have told me y'all were going to pick Shedeur, I would have said, that's not happening. Then he went on to make it very clear, wipe his hands clean of the Shedeur Sanders pick. He said, Andrew Berry, the GM, made the call to pick Shedeur. And Andrew Berry is already on the hot seat because of the Deshaun Watson stuff, even though Jimmy Haslam kind of forced his hand to go sign him, and that was a swing and a miss. He talked about that today, too. But Jimmy Haslam saying, Andrew Berry made the call to pick Shedeur. That should not make you feel good about the long-term prospects of Shedeur being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. That does not, like, completely remove him from the competition this year. They don't have any really good option. Shedeur may be as good an option as anybody they have in that room right now. But considering Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, who supposedly made the picker on the hot seat, Jimmy Haslam may bring in other guys. Jimmy Haslam doesn't have this tie to Shedeur Sanders. That is a bad thing to hear if you're part of the Sanders family or if you're Shedeur yourself. Nasty. Nasty stuff. That'll do it with a trip around the National Football League. We have one more segment left in hour number two. We'll go ahead and get to Small Talk when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM. ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, I know it's called Small Talk, but this is not a small story by any stretch of the imagination. Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball player, and second baseman, has passed at 65 years of age after battling metastatic prostate cancer for the better part of the last 2 years. Second baseman, five-tool guy, mostly in the 1980s, early 90s. 10 consecutive All-Star games and All-Star teams, 9 straight Gold Gloves. He's a guy over 16 seasons, 282 bombs. He hit 25-plus home runs and stole 30-plus bases 5 times. Just an absolute legend. Absolute legend who fought cancer, prostate cancer, the last 2 years and just lost his battle with it. In June of 2024, June of last year, the Cubs unveiled a statue for him because he was a larger-than-life figure on the athletic side of the city of Chicago. And, like, I know, you know, some of our older listeners will remember just watching WGN before it switched over and baseball contracts and regional contracts became sort of the thing that we latch onto. But it's hard to grasp the level of celebrity and how revered he was in the city of Chicago. Because, like, you have to take into consideration the time that he came along. Traded from the Phillies in the early 80s. This was pre-85 Bears and Mike Ditka and Mike Singletary. This was pre-90s Bulls. Like, he was, like, the biggest sports celebrity in the city of Chicago, that massive market, for a while. And obviously, good guy, will be remembered, great baseball player. But, like, the city of Chicago, it's hard to, if you're not from there or know people from there, it's hard to really put into words how big of a figure Ryan Sandberg was.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to my dad about him this morning, and he was one of my dad's favorite players because, you know, he hit for power at the position that he was for really the first time. You didn't see many people hit for power at the position. And he was a true five-tool player. And that deal that he was in turned out to be one of the most lopsided trades in baseball history.
Right.
And I thought it was interesting yesterday, or it was fun to see so many people talk about, you know, coming home from school and turning on WGN, and you would watch him and the Cubs. That was kind of a daily tradition for a lot of people during baseball season before, like you said, regional contracts came into play. So, like, you know, if I had to guess, there is probably a pretty big Cubs contingent kind of everywhere that was getting WGN and the people that were able to tune into these games. But he's truly one of the best to ever do it at his position.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
He's a bona fide Hall of Famer, and it's a major loss not only for the city of Chicago, but for baseball as a whole.
Yeah, so he was traded. Let me see here. This would have been 1981 from the Phillies.
It was so.
It was with
here.
Larry Boa.
Yeah.
For Ivan DeJesus.
Yeah.
And Ivan DeJesus, when he became a part of the Phillies, here are his stats. Let's see. 239 with three home runs, 254 with four home runs, 257, zero home runs. That's what he did with the with the Phillies when he was traded over.
Is that good?
I think the Cubs came out on top with that trade. My gosh. But yeah, lost a legend. Ryne Sandberg, 65 years of age. An absolute Chicago legend. But I'm glad. One thing I am glad for is he was able to see that statue out front of Wrigley Field before he passed. That's something that need not be forgotten. I'm glad he was able to see how loved he was by Cubs fans and by the city of Chicago before he passed away. But that will do it for hour number two. Hour number three is on the way, and we're going to open it, as we normally do on a Tuesday, talking with Christian Fowler. We have some Tigers to talk about. We have that cheating scandal, UTSA, Taj Rael, Owen McCown, all that to discuss. So make sure you stick around on the other side right here on the
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.